Like tonight to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 18, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, and the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. I'd like to read in Exodus 18, verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. Deuteronomy chapter 16, I'd like to read verse 18. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. The word of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as a tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. I want to speak tonight concerning the Christian vote. In the United States, our national government is made up of three branches. There's the executive branch, which, of course, includes the president, the vice president, and I believe 15 cabinet members who advise the president about different government departments. Then there's the legislative branch that, of course, would be Congress, divided into two parts, senators and representatives. And then, of course, you have the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, made up of 9 justices selected by the president and confirmed by the Senate. In the passage in Exodus, Jethro, who was the priest and the father-in-law of Moses, is really giving Moses some advice. He felt that Moses was taking too much upon himself. And he advises Moses to appoint spiritually and morally qualified men to be judges, to implement the keeping of the law. They were to be able men, such as fear God, men who hated covetousness. Concerning the passage in Deuteronomy, Moses is preparing the Israelites for the time in which they would occupy the land of Canaan, and he taught them that they would be responsible for choosing their civil officers. And he goes on and he states there that those judges and officers shall judge the people with just judgment. In other words, they themselves must be just. And then in 2 Samuel, the passage we read there, David states that the rulers should be just in ruling in the fear of God. And he went on to say there in verse 3 that when they did that, they would be like the brilliance of the sun on a cloudless morning. That is, they would be very refreshing and beneficial to the people. Again, we want to speak concerning the Christian vote in light of the fact that we have another presidential election on Tuesday. And I know that many, probably not here, but many have little to no interest in politics. And many, like most of us, are thoroughly disgusted with politicians and the whole political landscape. But believe it or not, I have very, very, very strong feelings and opinions about politics. And I enjoy discussing or arguing, then whichever, politics. To me, politics is very interesting. And if it were not so serious, it would really be pretty funny. But it's too serious to be humorous. If you think about it, politicians are only people in the world that create problems and then campaign against the very problems they created. I mean, that's what they do. They're good at it. I first became interested, or I should say aware, of politics when I was 9 years old. That's when President John Kennedy was assassinated. And I can remember that day as if it happened yesterday. The first presidential election that I was able to vote in was 1972. That was the first year that 18-year-olds were allowed to vote. So this election will be the 11th presidential election that I have voted in. I've never once failed to vote. I consider myself to be politically aware. I do not preach politics because I do not believe that is the mission of the church, and I do not believe that is the way that people become spiritually stronger. But without a doubt, there is much wrong with the United States. It is far, far from being perfect. We have many, many problems, and many of them I don't believe will be solved because, well, doesn't matter. There are things in our country that are an absolute abomination to God. And I believe that we as a nation have lost much of our greatness and will never get it back. And I believe, based upon Romans chapter 1, that we are a nation currently under the judgment of God. With all that being said, I do believe that the United States is the greatest country in the world. There is no place that I would rather live than in the United States. And God has so graciously blessed us, and God has so mercifully blessed us as a nation. We have been blessed with beauty. We have been blessed with an abundance of resources. We have been blessed with an abundance of provisions. the Lord has blessed in making the United States, and at one time, and still really, an economical power and the greatest military power in all the world. The Lord has used the United States to help other nations like He has used no other nation in the history of the world. And the United States is still the most generous country in the world. And they are the most, or the least, appreciated country in the world. The Lord has used the United States as He has used no other nation to carry the gospel to the world. And the Lord has abundantly blessed this country. The Lord has abundantly used this country. And He has blessed us with freedom as He has blessed no other. So there should be, though there is much wrong with the United States, and there are many things that are going on in this nation that we are absolutely appalled by and ashamed of, and that we can in no wise identify with. But let there be no doubt about it, God has greatly blessed this country. And I'm glad that God in His grace has allowed me to live in this country my entire life. There are people all over the world who hear of America and long to be here and will do almost anything to get here. And you and I have been so blessed that we have been born here and raised in the United States. I've lived my entire life in freedom. My entire life I have enjoyed freedom. I have never, and neither have you, lived in a country that was under the power of a cruel dictatorship. We've been blessed. We've never experienced those things. We do not know what it's like to have any enemy armies in the streets. All of our lives we've enjoyed freedom. All of our lives we've been able to pursue our goals. We've had the freedom to do so. All of our lives we've lived with freedom to come and go. And the selfish part of me, I want to enjoy that the rest of my life. I don't want to live in a nation that is under the power of an enemy dictator. I don't want to live in a nation where enemy armies are in the streets. But the very freedoms and the very foundations on which those freedoms are built have been being threatened for decades in this country, and are being eroded away. And I believe that it is important for God's people to be politically aware. I believe that God's people ought to take an interest in government. They ought to take an interest in politics. I've heard people say, well, I don't pay any attention to that. Well, you ought to repent. You ought to get right, because you ought to pay attention. Now, I realize that God is in control, but you ought to be interested in who the leaders of this country are. That ought to interest every one of us. Especially, that ought to interest God's people. And it is of utmost importance that we use our liberty to vote. That's of the utmost importance. The saved should take an interest, and the saved should vote in elections. We realize that God is in control. Almost every night I watch the news, I have to remind myself of that. But we do realize that God is in control. That God is in control of all the nations. He is in control of all the political changes that go on. It is plainly stated in Romans 13 and verse 1, "For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God." So we should have no trouble believing that. Who God puts into office, I believe, says much concerning the condition of a nation. Again, read about the kings of Judah and Israel. Read the book of Judges. Who God puts in office says much about who we are as a country. The truth is, the United States deserves our current president. We deserve that. We deserve worse. I can't imagine. Throughout the Old Testament, evil kings were a sign of God's judgment. Good kings were indicative of God being merciful to a people. And therefore, no one should be more concerned than God's people when it comes to elections. Because we ought to realize more than anyone else the importance of good leaders. We ought to understand from biblical history the influence of government upon a country, upon a land. Reading through the book of Judges, we see a repeated cycle of a people enjoying the abundance of the blessings of God, and then, to put it simply, self would get in the way and God's ways would be rejected and forgotten, and the people would begin to do what was right in their own eyes, and chaos and disorder and confusion and turmoil and upheaval would follow, and you had a mess. And that's where we are today. And then God, in His mercy, would raise up a judge to deliver His people, but it wouldn't be long, and the cycle would start all over again. In the book of Kings and Chronicles, we read the history of the kingdom of Israel and Judah. The kingdom of Israel had 19 kings. And it is said of every one of them that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. It is also stated that some were worse than others. But 19 kings, and they were all evil. And after 241 and a half years, the kingdom of Israel fell into Assyrian bondage. You see, their leaders were evil, and they had a history of misery. The kingdom of Judah fared a little better. They had 20 kings. And it is recorded in Kings and Chronicles that six of those 20 did right in the sight of the Lord. And then there were two who started out right, but before they ended, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And again, some were worse than others. God sent them some good kings, six. He was being merciful to them, and He spared them. But after 393 and a half years, they too fell into Babylonian captivity. So from Old Testament history, we see that kings do make a difference in the moral fiber of a nation. Kings make a difference in the direction of a nation. And kings can be the result of either a blessing or a curse. So yes, it is important, very important, who is in office in this country. And we are reminded in Psalm 33 and 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I believe those days are gone. But blessed be the nation whose God is the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness. That is, that which is in conformity to God's standard of right. Exalteth a nation. It uplifts a nation. It honors a nation. When a nation is in conformity with God. But it goes on and says, but sin, that which transgresses the law of God, is a reproach. That is a disgrace and a degradation to any people. Doesn't matter who it is. To any people. In Proverbs 29 and verse 2, we read, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. The people mourn. I've been mourning for 4 years, looking forward to Tuesday. The very function of government. You know, it's scary when the government tells you what their function is, because the truth is, most of them have no idea. But the Bible does tell us the function of government. Notice in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'm having a very, very difficult time with this message because you do not know how hard I'm trying to contain myself and not say some things that probably shouldn't be said. But in Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, but the powers that be are ordained of God, speaking of government. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. But then notice what it says. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. They are to promote good, and they are to deter evil. That is the role of government. To promote good. We live in an age where many in our own government mock and ridicule good. And they do not deter evil, they promote evil. The purpose of government is to promote good and to deter evil. And we'll stop reading there in Romans. But in from all this, from everything we've said thus far, we see that our leaders have a profound power to impact our nation. To impact what goes on in a nation. And the people of God should know more than anybody the profound importance of the good and the serious and devastating consequences of evil. And God's people should manifest more concern over who our leaders are than anybody else. Because we understand from what the Bible says, the power of good and the danger of evil. Most people today have no idea of the danger of evil. They have no idea of the danger that some of the policies that are being presented, they have no idea of the danger of those things. God's people certainly should manifest a great concern that a nation move in the direction of God, that a nation move in the direction of good, that a nation, that good be promoted and evil be deterred. We ought to be concerned about that at all times. Now, all presidential candidates, whoever they might be, and all senator and Senate and state representative candidates, they all say, I just want what's best for this country. And though we may sharply disagree with some of them, that may be true. They may just be plain ignorant. And they may truly, really want what is best for this country. But you will not convince me that our current president wants what's best for this country. You will never convince me of that. I am convinced just the opposite. I am convinced that he is out to destroy this country. We have had other presidents that have been bad presidents. And some may disagree, but I don't think any of them, and I'm not even forgetting Bill Clinton, I don't think any of them, it was their purpose to destroy this country. I believe they're ignorant. And they did many foolish things. But I believe for the first time in our history, we have elected, I say we, I don't mean us, our nation has elected a man who wants to destroy this country. Now, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Most who run for office will say, well, we want what's best for the economy. And perhaps they do. We want what's best for the schools. Therefore, we want to give more money to schools. Money's not going to fix the schools. We want what's best for the family. We believe in killing babies, but we want what's best for the family. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. But the truth is, what's best for the country, what's best for the economy, what's best for the schools, what's best for the country, is for the nation to move in the direction of God. For the nation to move in the direction of godly principles. For the nation to promote good and deter evil. That's what's best. Whether it be the economy or education or the family, that's what's best. And no one should know that better than God's people. The saved should take an interest and vote because much is at stake. In my lifetime, each presidential election has had more at stake than the previous one. Every single one. Every single one I have been able to honestly say, this is the most critical election of our lifetime. And it's accurate. And it's accurate today. This is the most critical. And if we have one 4 years from now, it'll be even more critical than this one. It's hard to imagine, but it's so. So in my lifetime, each presidential election has had more at stake than the previous. There's a reason for that. There is a biblical reason for that. One, you and I live in a postmodern age. That is, we live in the last days of the last days. A time when evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. And therefore, each election does get more critical. Due to the judgment of God, Romans 1, verses 18 and verses 21 and 22. Let's turn there. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In verse 21 and 22, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and the Greek word there simply means morons. That's part of the judgment of God. People are more stupid than they've ever been. Stupidity is at an all-time high. And a lot of these ignorant people, they vote. And some of them run for office and get elected. Therefore, because we are under the judgment of God, and part of that is that God causes man to be ignorant, it's going to keep on getting worse. And who knows who the next candidates will be if there is an election. Each election year becomes more critical because we as a nation are moving further and further and further away from biblical principles on which we were founded. In 1782, Congress approved use of the Bible in schools and paid for them with tax dollars. In 1962, the Supreme Court made prayer illegal in public schools. In 1963, it became illegal for the Bible to be read in public schools. God and His Word has been banned from our educational system and replaced with condoms. And then you wonder what's wrong with our educational system. All we need to do is throw more money at it. Why? So you can buy more condoms? God and His Word are now attacked and ridiculed in the educational system of this country. I remember, I believe it was fifth grade, when the Gideons came to school and passed out little New Testaments. Those days are long gone. Long gone. In its beginning, our nation was characterized by a bold and unapologetic acknowledgement of God and our need for Him. But in this postmodern age, our nation has been engaged in systematically eliminating God from every aspect of our existence. 1980, the Ten Commandments were outlawed from being posted in public schools. November 13th, 2003, Chief Justice Roy Moore, remember him? The Alabama Supreme Court was removed from office for defiance of a federal judge's order to remove the Ten Commandment monument from the rotunda of the state capitol. We need more men like that. In recent years, liberals have claimed it unconstitutional to mention God in the Pledge of Allegiance. And that is unconstitutional to sing Christmas carols in public places. Hate crime laws are being passed as a means of outlawing the condemnation of that which God calls an abomination. We now have an entire month set aside to encourage pride in sodomy. This is a sick nation. Everywhere you turn, in our government, in our courts, you see the belligerent disobedience to the laws of God, and you see a bent to remove every idea of God. We have moved from, or have gone from, being a country that recognized and that acknowledged our need of God in government to a country that now elects those who are bent on removing God and every reminder of Him from our society. And there is one party in particular that is more bent than the other. There is no perfect political party in this country. But you better read up on what the Democratic Party believes before you vote for a single Democrat. I will never, as long as God gives me a right mind, vote for a man or a woman who calls themselves a Democrat. They may believe like nothing like the Democrats, but if you don't have enough sense to remove that title, Democrat, I have no interest in voting for you. They are against the promotion of good, for the most part. I'm not saying all of them, but the party as a whole. Did you watch the Democratic Convention? The party as a whole denounces God. Well, my union tells, you ought to stop listening to your union. Think for yourself. So, as a result of all this, our country is drowning in immorality, wickedness, ignorance, and, to be honest, absolute insanity. I mean, you listen to the politicians from both parties. They're insane. They have absolutely lost their minds. And then people say, well, you know, that sounds pretty good. Well, you've lost your mind too then. Therefore, because of all this, there's more at stake than in any other election. The scriptural standards that once shaped our country have been replaced with atheism, moral relativism. And in every election year, one or both candidates are going to lead us further down that road of atheism. As a result, and you just think about the last few elections, the last four or five. Every presidential election, somebody a little left, a little further left, runs for office. They just get a little further left. Now, you can't get much further left than what we have right now. So it scares me to think what's even coming next. But each election, someone a little further left, someone with a more socialistic, humanistic, and Marxist agenda is a candidate and gets more and more votes each time. And therefore, more and more is at stake with each presidential election. God's people should vote through the lens of Scripture. We are to view everything through the lens of Scripture. We are to view everything with the mind of Christ and ought to only be interested in that which promotes the glory of God, that which promotes that which is moral and decent. A Christian, a follower of Christ, does not throw aside or ignore biblical principles when it comes time to vote. Some people will say, well, I separate my religion from my politics, then you don't have anything. Yeah, I don't see how you can separate those two. That's like saying, I separate my religion from the way I live. And a lot of people do. But it doesn't make sense. The Christian does not vote based on carnal reason. You have a candidate, not in this election necessarily, but just for an example, you have a candidate that says, I'm going to give the seniors X amount of benefits. I'm going to look out for the seniors. But I'm for abortion. You say, I'm voting for that guy because he's looking out after me. What about those babies? How a child of God can vote for someone who believes in murdering babies, and that's what they believe in. How can you do that as a child of God? Again, I've said this before. I've never had the backbone to do it, but I believe anybody who votes for a candidate who believes in abortion should be disciplined from a church. I believe that. Haven't put it into practice, but it's serious. We need to vote in the lens of Scripture. Now, I am interested and have very definite views and opinions concerning the place of government in our lives. It's not my purpose to preach on that. I have very strong opinions about the economy, about national defense. I have strong opinions about the United Nations and our part in the United Nations and the United Nations being in this country. I have strong opinions about spending more than you have, national debt. I have strong opinions about welfare programs, not against all of them, but I have strong opinions against entitlements, immigration, dependence upon foreign oil, education, trade with other nations. And without a doubt, all of these are very serious issues of importance. There's no doubt about that. I'm a conservative. I'm far, far right. I have yet to see a politician that I feel is conservative enough. They're all too liberal, as far as I am concerned. I am so far right that I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start driving around the block just so I don't have to make a left turn. But that being said, we do not vote on all these other things that we have opinions upon. We vote morals. The Scriptures tell us to vote morals. A Christian should stand for morals, and a Christian should vote for morals. I vote for faith. I believe many in our government have declared war on religion in the United States. And when I say religion, I use that term loosely. I'm saying the Catholics, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Baptists, everybody. You say, well, I don't care what they do to the Catholics. You better care. Because what they do to them, they'll do to us. There's many in our government that have declared war on religion. I vote for faith. I'm not going to vote for somebody who has declared war on religion. I'm not going to vote for somebody who has declared war on family. And I'm sorry, not really, but if you vote for someone who believes in abortion, that is declaring war on family. I'm not going to vote for someone who declares war on marriage. So as a Christian, I vote that human life is sacred and that it must be protected from conception to natural death. I do not even believe what many in the Republican Party believe. We believe in the protection of life as long as the mother is not in danger. That's not your business. I believe in protecting right life whether the mother's life is in danger or not. You don't have that decision. That's not your decision to make. I pity anybody who's in that position. I really do. But that's not any man's responsibility. That's God's business. So I'm against abortion. I don't care why. I'm against it. 100%, 100% of the time. We have a president, and many in politics, both parties, both major parties, that sees nothing wrong with killing the unborn. Consequently, he and those like him is a supporter of and is supported by perhaps the most evil and wicked organization that has ever existed, Planned Parenthood. There's something about parenthood and abortion. Those two don't go together to me. Planned Parenthood. And contrary to what many would have you believe, I heard a man just the other night say that Planned Parenthood is a benevolent organization. Tell that to all the babies you've killed. Sadly, people believe that. That Planned Parenthood is a benevolent organization. All they're there for is to try to strengthen a woman's rights. They are not a benevolent organization. They are a cold, calculating group intent on spreading humanism and luring children into their web of premarital sex with unlimited abortions. That's who they are. And how can any child of God be for such a group? How can you vote for someone who even slightly supports or endorses such a group? Planned Parenthood pushes what it calls confidential services for minors, which is simply the promotion of teen sex and infidelity. That's all it is. We have a president and many others that support sodomites. I didn't say gay. I refuse to call them gay. I'm not going to take a good word and ruin it. They are sodomites. They are sons of Belial. But we have a president that sees nothing wrong with sodomites being united in marriage. How can you vote for something like that? Our president not only sees nothing wrong with these things, and many others like him, he pushes these things, and we've come to the point where they mock and ridicule those who do not fall in line. It's shameful. We have a president and many others. Really, all they're doing is further advancing the devil's agenda and the agenda of Sodom and Gomorrah. These things have already brought much destruction to this country and will result in the ultimate destruction of this country. I believe the people who support these things do the work of an enemy. They may love the United States, some of them. They may, just out of ignorance, do these things. But they do the work of an enemy. And they contribute to the destruction of this country. Our greatest enemies today are within. Many of them hold office. Therefore, much is at stake. We need to exercise our liberty to vote. We need to vote through the lens of Scripture. And we need to be praying earnestly concerning this election. I watched all three and the vice presidential too. I watched all those debates and did so with excitement. And I prayed during the debate, Lord, help him not to say something stupid. Put words in his mouth. And I believe we ought to pray that way. We as a nation have no merit to plead. We have no merit to plead. We ought to plead, God be merciful. God be merciful to us. And I'm not so foolish to believe that a change in presidents will fix this country. There is no politician that's going to fix this country. But a change in president may change for a little while. And it'll be just for a little while because the cycle will start all over again. But for a little while, change the direction and undo some of the evil that has been done. And may we realize that no matter what the outcome of the election is, God is in control. And everything is moving according to His plan. And may we realize that no matter who is in political office, our duty remains the same. Our duty to serve God remains the same. Does not change. Does not change one iota. And it is our duty, no matter who is president, to pray for them. I can honestly say I have never prayed more for a president than I have Barack Obama. Some of those prayers might have been in flesh. I know they were. Some of them were, Lord, please get him out of here. But I did find myself praying many times, Lord, would you save his soul? And Lord, if you don't save him, just keep save him from himself. Spare us. I don't like, and I've talked to God about it and repented many times, I don't like feeling the way I feel about our president. I don't like feeling that way. I like to have a little bit of pride in the leader of the nation and being able to say, that's my president. I don't have that. And I don't see how any child of God can. We need to be in earnest prayer. Again, I've said many times, and it upsets people at times, but I believe it. I don't believe we'll ever see the America that some of us have known. We'll never see it again. Much of that is gone. It's gone. But I'm not going to give up complete hope. And I just pray that God would be merciful to us. And if God sees fit to give us another 4 years of the same president, then God help me and others to have a right attitude about it and to realize that God is in control. That He is in control. And I'll be praying on Tuesday, Lord, get everyone out that I feel is going to vote right, Lord, help them to get out. Those who aren't, Lord, whatever. Put a stumbling block in their way, flat tire. I'm just kidding. But Lord, if they're all these people, it's amazing to me. Well, I don't know who I'm going to vote for. How can you not know? You have two candidates that are as opposite as can be. How can you not know? And these people by the media are made to look intelligent. How can you not know? But I pray for those who do not know, Lord, help them to know when they're there. And Lord, those who are going to vote for evil, Lord, make them accidentally push the wrong button, do something. But we need to be praying that God would help us. And again, no matter what happens, God's going to help us. God's going to help this church. God's going to bless. And we'll go on and we'll serve the Lord. Country may be different. We may lose some freedoms. We may spend time in jail. But we'll go on and serve the Lord. But do be in prayer and realize the seriousness of what we're facing. Let's stand. We will not have a song of invitation. We'll just dismiss with prayer. Brother Larry.